is up. It is me, George G. We've got another awesome episode of the Aligned Money Show coming your way featuring Nolan Bradbury. He is the principal with Bradfield Accounting. He is working to make accounting not suck by turning numbers into pathways for growth. We had an awesome conversation that, of course, started with two truths and a lie, and then focused on some of the New Year's resolutions that successful individuals and business owners are making, and how it's not necessarily setting oneself up for long-term success. The importance of having clean and accurate data when you are trying to do planning, either for increasing revenue or lowering overhead and expenses. We talked about understand the value of both your time and your money and the realities of deciding to make a trade-off one way or another. Closed with an incredible difference-making tip that centers on the importance of knowing what your monthly number is, that if you're able to earn that, you're going to get what you want, but more importantly, how you're actually going to get there and not just making some pie-in-the-sky guess. I know that you are going to love it. Let's go. Nolan, to get us started, give me two truths and a lie, please.
Yeah. So in no particular order, I've been in a movie as an extra. Mm. I was born during an earthquake. And the last one, I once swam with sharks without a cage.
Wow. All right. Okay. You've been in a movie as an extra. You were born during an earthquake and you've swam?
I'm open to options. I think either can be used.
You've been in water with sharks without a cage. Got it. Okay. Well, I don't know that I'm able to suss any of these out. So I'm just going to say that you were not born during an earthquake.
I actually have never been in a movie as an expert. That is the lie.
Okay.
Maybe someday. I'll put it on my bucket list, though.
Yeah, that's going to pull out of air then to stump me. Is that already on your bucket list? Are you sandbagging? Do you really want to be in a movie?
No, I have absolutely no desire to be completely honest with you. That sounds like an absolutely terrifying experience, quite truthfully.
Okay, fair enough. So tell me about the earthquake and then tell me about the sharks.
Yeah, I mean, the earthquake is literally what it is. My mom was in labor and she's in the chair, like, mid-process, and the bed starts to vibrate around the room, and the doctor's like, everyone hold still. And it just kind of went for a little bit and then subsided. It's not like, you know, not damage or anything, but it was enough to make the room move. And as my mom loves to joke, I came into the world making a racket. So yeah,
that is very funny. You're like, your poor mom, it's like the whole deal being pregnant. Wow. Amazing.
Especially with your first. So I'm the oldest too. So first experience, right? Like not even like had done it before. I was like, okay, this is different than it normally is. But like, yeah, not, I was not nice to her, I guess, coming in. But
and then threw an earthquake in there too. Then. All right. And so then shortly thereafter, your mom threw you in water with sharks.
That's right. That's exactly the order. Yes. The next week, one of those like baby swimming classes that they teach you for survival, right? Where you just throw them in and they flip over, up the ante with sharks in the water. No, it actually was later on. I took a trip down to Australia, and we're out in the Great Barrier Reef, and it was not supposed to necessarily be, but there were some not like dangerous sharks, but very sort of like subdued ones that kind of moved into an area they were not expecting. And we were snorkeling there and they were closer than I would have preferred, but like, they're like, oh, it's fine. I'm like, says the person in the boat. Yeah, it's a different comment on that, but no harm. It was very passing, but I do like to be able to say that I did get to swim with sharks without a cage. So
totally. I don't know. I think that I'd be much more comfortable being in the woods and being within 100 yards of a bear versus being in the ocean and being 100 yards away from a shark. But I don't know. Maybe that's really stupid of me to say that.
I mean, preferably I'd take neither of those scenarios, but I think, I mean, there is something very vulnerable about being in large bodies of water for me, at least. I think it's sort of like this, you feel very like, I'm not a great swimmer to begin with, but like the speed at which you can move in the water is not as great as a shark. I mean, granted a bear can probably outrun you too, but it's not ideal.
Yeah. All right. Well done, Nolan. Good luck with that movie one day. All right. I'm sure that you do nice things for your mother on Mother's Day, but this Mother's Day, do something extra nice for mom, for goodness sakes.
I will do that. I'm
All
talking to her
right.
today, so I will make sure I pass that along.
This guy George said, "Great
Yeah.
job."
He said I owe you.
Yes, well, that's 1,000% true. We all owe our moms more than we can possibly imagine. So,
100%.
all right. Well, what is top of mind for you right now, Nolan?
Yeah, so my background is as a professor. I work in the finance area. I help small business owners and founders. And the thing right now that is kind of top of mind that we're having conversations a lot with our clients is this idea of like they all have New Year financial resolutions for 2025. So much like people make New Year's resolutions around particularly like their diet or working out, a lot of people right now talking about how they're going to completely revamp and change how they do things in 2025. And it frankly, it kind of scares me and concerns me because much like fitness resolutions, any sort of change you make, it has to be cemented in this idea that like you want to make that change and that it's going to you associate with it and you're going to see positives in the outcome. And frankly, we're just not very good as human beings at discerning like what we need to do, quite honestly. Budgeting in general, we're not great with time or money. I don't know if you've ever tried to map out your day and go, these are the things I need to do. And inevitably you get to the end of the day and got two of the eight things done because other stuff comes up, but we just can't account for it. And same is true with money. We tend to sort of plan to maximize everything available. And so we never sort of account for the things that can come up or that should come up, or that we're able to sort of adjust when we come up. And so it's just one of those things that we're having a lot of conversations in terms of trying to help people really discern what are meaningful changes that do help and provoke that versus what are things that they're just kind of throwing spaghetti at the wall to see if it'll stick and give a better outcome. Because the last thing I'll sort of say on this before I finish my monologue is business owners oftentimes have shiny object syndrome, right? They are trying to solve a problem or many problems at once, and whatever sort of flashes in front of them, it's like, ooh, let's throw some money at that and see if it works. And that's kind of what a lot of the New Year's resolutions are for people when it comes to finance. It's like throwing money at new things without really understanding how that's going to tie back to the outcome they want.
It's funny. I completely believe that shiny object syndrome. It's new year, new me. We're going to do things totally different. Everything's going to be perfect this year, and we're ready to go. So how does that, what is that? Are there common things that people are coming to you saying, "Nolan, it's all going good, buddy, but this year we're going to do da 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 da." You're like, pump the brakes, man.
So probably no surprise, I would say there's two main areas. One, they're gonna sell a lot more product, right? I'm gonna crush this thing, and usually involves some sort of new offer or new product that they're rolling out, right? Or two, they're gonna cut way back on expenses, and they're gonna go lean and mean and get rid of all the things that are unnecessary. And here's why ultimately these are very much like resolutions, especially fitness ones, and why they tend to not work. Not to sound like Scrooge or Debbie Down or anything, but more just to sort of call out the issue so that people can maybe see this if they're dealing with this right now is people don't like to spend less. This is a hard fact for us to admit, but we like to spend money. Most people enjoy it. Even if it's just a temporary dopamine hit, it's fun to spend money. And so when you take that away from yourself, it's like taking away your favorite dessert or treat. It's hard. You don't want to do it. And so it often fails because we don't want to do it. At some point, our willpower isn't strong enough to sort of keep it with that. And that's not a knock. Like most people's willpower is not strong enough to make a change. That's not actually what invokes change. So expense, it's not that I don't believe that it's good to reassess expenses, but if your plan is to just come in and hack your budget down and save and get things differently that way, you're probably going to get a month or two in the year and it's going to feel really bad. And then you're going to overcompensate and spend even more money than you probably did before because you have to sort of make up in areas, right? On the revenue side of things, what I often see is two pieces. Like I said, one, they're going to say, I'm going to make money. And it's usually some round arbitrary number. I want to make $1 million more. I'm going to make $5 million or $100,000, whatever that number is. And as I try to point out to people, like if you say you want to make $1 million and that's all you tell me, it's really no different than if I told you I want to make $1.263 million. Like there's still numbers that we pulled out of thin air because you have nothing to back it up that that number is going to generate the results you want. Secondly, they oftentimes will come out with new products or new services, but they've done no testing to validate whether or not what they're going to roll out actually has an audience, that they can sell it for what they want, or that they understand the costs associated with getting it to a place that it's going to deliver the results they want. And so, again, I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer and sound like every other sort of CPA or accountant out there who just sounds like, oh, you just shouldn't do any of this. That's not it. It's that if you're going to do any of those things, there's a very strategic, important way of going about doing it. And that's what we really want to help educate people.
All that makes a lot of sense. I mean, we humans are going to do human stuff and wanting to cut to the bone or make a million extra bucks, but both of those sound awesome and very human, but they're either not realistic or they're certainly not sustainable. And to your point about making cuts. That being said, we're about to have a new president or an old president become the new president again. We've got this Department of Government Efficiency coming in. And I was just thinking, I just released an episode, maybe even today, talking about your personal doge. And so it's not advocating that we make massive cuts, but I think it's more a function of why don't we take a look at what we're doing and look for opportunities to optimize.
I think any financial decision you make, I think it's important to understand why you're making it. So, I am a numbers person, and so I believe in having data. But I'm also not married to the data. So what I always try to inform people of is like part of my job in supporting you is to make sure you have the right information to make the best decision for you. But I'm also conscientious of the fact that maybe what I have and the data have, it says that you should pick option A. But it's okay with me if you pick option B because there's other things outside of the data that indicate that maybe that's the way to go or you're more comfortable. But what we don't want to have is you not even knowing that the data says option A is the right one and you picking option B sort of on your own whim. That's dangerous. That's where we can get ourselves into trouble when we don't understand the ramifications of our choice or why that we're making that choice in the first place. And that's the challenge. And that's sort of the linchpin of sort of why I said those changes that people want to make often don't work is because we've not actually tied them back to prove that if we do this thing, the outcome we want is guaranteed to happen. And that, like, if I said to you, hey, George, all you have to do is A, B, and C, and you're going to get exactly what you want, that feels amazing. It does. But if I said you need to do maybe A, maybe B, maybe a little bit of C, and I think we'll get close to it, that's not as confident feeling. And so there's a difference there. And so it's important you understand sort of which bucket you're falling into as you make those resolutions, if you will.
Yeah, I think that that makes a ton of sense. If we don't know what the data is, if we have no idea, we're just pulling random numbers out of the air, which we talked about. I think you said 1.362 or something like that. That's fun, but
It's fun.
it's not useful. It's not helpful.
Not helpful. And if anything, it can be often dangerous because you will and you someone wise once said everything you buy you finance. And I say this because you're trading either current money for a current thing or future opportunity for something, right? So I think if we think about it in those terms, we sometimes would be a bit more reluctant to spend the money. Like if I buy this thing now, that's less money I can give to my family and take a trip with. Or if I buy this thing now, that's less money I have to allocate to savings or retirement down the road. So what would future me feel about me spending X amount, thousands of dollars on this shiny object? Would future me rather have that money down the road, or would future me rather have that shiny object right now? Maybe it's a shiny object, but are we thinking about it in those terms?
Yeah, I like that a lot. Everything we buy, we finance. I think that that's 100% true. So you're right. Did you say that, Nolan? Did you make that up?
I did not make that up. I would love to have made that up. I did not make that up.
Something else I've been thinking about lately, it's germane to this conversation, is that of finding your just right. We all remember Goldilocks, too hot, too cold, just right. And in a lot of ways, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about I'm going to cut everything and live a very subsistence lifestyle,
Yep.
or I'm going to be the next Jeff Bezos over the next 12 months because I'm going to make $1 billion. And I hope that both those things happen. I hope you're successfully able to do that. But why don't we find that kind of just right, which is more a recipe for sustainability, for something that's actually going to work.
Absolutely. Yeah, to me, the most important thing you can know for yourself in this coming year, if I was to give you that, right, is this idea that get very clear without any doubt what the number is that you need to generate or bring in each month to live the lifestyle you want. And so part of that is you have to actually know what is the lifestyle you want and what that costs. And that's something that is very hard for people, quite honestly, to be honest about, both in terms of how they're currently living versus what do they want to live by. How we spend our money is probably the most personal thing out there. People will talk about just about any other topic openly, but when you ask someone like, "How do you spend your money?" Ooh, people clench up. That is not a comfortable thing to talk about. But you have to be willing to get naked with yourself about that and be honest about like, this is what I want to be able to spend and how I want to spend it. And then we can back solve basically for here's what that number needs to be each month that you generate. How do you feel about that? Like, do you want to work that hard? How are you going to get there? We can start to actually define the specific things that you need to do to achieve that goal rather than just randomly cutting money and throwing money into new products. Like, we can be very intentional about it. So going back to like what I said, which is now when I tell you, George, when you do A, B, and C, you are going to get the outcome you want because we've proved the math. We've done the equation. We have shown you that if your business does this, you will get what you want at the end of the day. Not just for your business, for you as an individual, and ultimately for your family. That to me is like, if you can get that one number, like that's critical. Everything else you can unlock from there.
I think that that is about as important and true and curious as it gets, that we all think that we want this lavish lifestyle, but we have absolutely no idea what that's really going to cost. And is that really what I want anyway? I don't know. I just pulled it out of the air, kind of like that number.
What's very fascinating is when we help people solve this problem, like when we take them through this and we help them figure out that number, the thing that is very fascinating is there's a decent percentage of the population that get there and go, "I don't think that's how I want to live it out." When I see what I have to do to live like that, it makes me reevaluate if I actually want to work that hard for that. And I think that's a wonderful thing to have to think about. Because it isn't just about how much you get, it's about how you use it. And so this is balancing act of like, how much do you need versus how much do you want to have? And you're willing to trade of your time for that. And I always love it, not because I think people should spend less necessarily, but like that people are able to have that realization that, you know what, maybe I'd rather work 4 less hours a week and not stay in a 5-star hotel, but rather a 4-star hotel on our next family vacation. It's like, that's a real decision that has real life impact that can make you a lot happier when you understand those are sort of the trade-offs that you're making and why you're making them. When you're comfortable with why you make a decision, you don't stress about it because there's clarity around it. You know exactly why you did it and what's going to come from it, as opposed to, what if I'd done the other thing? Maybe I wish I'd stayed here. There's all this like regret and stuff that builds up. And so I love it when we get to that place with people.
Yeah. What a really powerful question. What a really powerful exercise is, what would you, is 5 hours a week of value to you? Like, oh, I wonder what most people would say. I sort of lean to the idea that, nah, no big deal. But that's an hour a day, man. Holy cow. That's you getting home at
Imagine if you
four.
went home an hour earlier every day. Like
Yes.
a lot of it's phrasing, right? It's like, how do you perceive that and what do you do with it, right? If I just gave you 5 hours and you just turned around and did like 5 hours of Netflix with it, like maybe you don't do that trade, right? But if that 5 hours is you come home and you make yourself and your family a better meal that's healthier, maybe you do that. And so it's like, this is why I feel like this is such a valuable thing to talk about with yourself and people who understand your financial situation, and why it's important not to sort of shy away from it, because it's not that money buys happiness, but it does allow it to be easier, more easily obtained. I mean, I'm sorry, that's just the reality of our society. Like, there's just no way around it. And so we have a finite amount of it. We need to make sure we're using it in the best way possible, just like our time. And those two things are, if you're a business owner, you cannot separate them.
That's right. Yeah, I've also been spending a lot of time talking or thinking about and also talking about doing time audits and attention audits,
Yeah.
because these are our most valuable resources. I talk about time, attention, energy, and money, and they're valuable because they're scarce. They're not infinite. And so we really benefit ourselves, which you've done a wonderful job explaining and walking through today, when we're just paying attention and we have some kind of an idea of that my time is of value and that money is, I'd like more of it, but at what cost?
I mean, the great saying, right? What gets measured gets managed. It's amazing how many people, when it comes to their personal finances, when it flows through the business to their personal bank account, how sort of hands off they are, how they sometimes stick their head in the sand, how they don't manage that as closely as they do other money. And yet, why is your personal money any less valuable than your business's money? I mean, they're kind of one and the same, to be completely honest. And so it's important to have an opportunity, a way set up so that, not that you're spending a bunch of time arguing over where you, like if you got a coffee at Starbucks that was $7 instead of $6 or whatever they cost now, is probably more than that. I'm probably underselling it, but whatever, that's not the point of the exercise, right? Like we don't, it's not that. It's about just being more conscious in why we're doing something and understanding, what does that mean for me and the trade-offs of that? And just having a way to make sure that you're not just sort of like floating through decisions, or having decisions made for you by other systems or people, but rather that you set up an operating system that allows you to make sure that you can be on top of the things that you need to be on top of. And so when you say like, hey, you know what? To get the thing I want, I need to sell three more of this type of offer. Okay. It's a lot different than saying I need to make $1 million, right? So how do we make sure that you are selling three more of that offer each month? It's a different thing, and it's a much easier thing to manage and track, because it's very specific.
Got to have your eyes wide open going into all these things.
Yeah.
Got it. Well, Nolan, you've already given us quite a few, but we are ready for that difference-making tip. What do you have for us?
Yeah, I would say it's a little bit of the aggregation of what I shared, not to sort of like have cheated and given it in advance of this. Sorry about that, George, but
You're
it's
good.
about understanding what your number is, and I would add to it, not being ashamed of it. Own it. Why be ashamed of like, this is what how I want to live my life? It's your life. Don't let anyone tell you that you should or shouldn't do that. It's yours. If you want it, do it. Just be honest with yourself. That's what you want. If you're honest with yourself and you have and you know what you need to do, it's a lot easier to make that happen than if you lie to yourself or you aren't fully honest and you don't have a good sense of where you're spending your money and so forth, business or personal. It's harder to do that. And you're going to find yourself sort of just floundering in the same spot, not really making the progress you want. And I don't want that for anyone, just to be clear. I want people to have the life they want. That's my ambition in life, is to help people achieve the goal they want.
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets it. Come on.
Come on.
Yeah, man. We only got one crack at this deal. So we are so repressed. And when I say we, I mean this was me for a really long time. So I know how it is to have desires, but to either be ashamed of them or not want to just be honest about it. Whatever. Life is way too short. And everything that you've been talking about, I couldn't agree more. So know your number. Don't be ashamed. Let's go. Well, Nolan, thank you so much for coming on to the show. Where can people learn more? How can they engage?
Yeah, you can find me on LinkedIn, very creatively. Nolan Bradbury is the handle. And then you can find me. Our company website is bradfieldco.com, not Bradbury, Bradfield. And you can find us out there and learn about how we might be able to help you if any of this sounded interesting to you. I'd love to help you find your number. That's something that would be unlocking for you.
Love it. All right. Well, if you enjoyed this much as I did, show Nolan your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Find him on LinkedIn under his name, Nolan Bradbury, and then go to bradfieldco.com or bradfield.co.
No, bradfieldco.com.
Perfect. And go through that exercise. I mean, I can't tell you how important it was for me to finally open up my eyes and take Nolan's advice. And I think that it'll really benefit you as well. So thanks again, Nolan.
Thank you.
Finally, friendly reminder, never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you are. So act accordingly.